time to feel the rush of the round table. Brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Are you really an independent contractor? Find out in seconds for free at PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
Jay Michaels, Trevor Mayo in for Ryan Doyle today. Our roundtable has assembled. Host of the Bill Carroll Show Fridays at noon, coast to coast. Host of the Morning Rush at CFRA in Ottawa is Bill Carroll. Hello, Bill.
Man, I terrified, you know. Next time there's a thunderstorm, I am not going out. I didn't realize the stat. This listener is, man, so more than 8,000 people have died of lightning strikes in Canada since March. That's the stat you just gave me, right? Because he's more likely to die of a lightning strike than of COVID-19, and 8,000 Canadians have died of lightning strikes in just the last couple of months. Like, I had no idea. Why are we not reporting this? People are dropping like flies in the streets of lightning strikes by the thousands.
See, this is why we, the mainstream media,
people are stupid.
We choose not to report these things.
This has not highlighted this, but seriously, did you know your neighbors were this dumb and this into conspiracy theories until now? Did you know this many people? It's terrifying.
Yeah. I've overheard some conversations. I've been in on a few phone calls where I've actually not said anything, and I've just thought to myself, mental note. My opinion of you has changed greatly.
You know, I'm more likely to die in a lightning strike. That's actually just not true. Shut up.
Also here, senior consultant at Crestview, Jaskaran Sandhu. Thank you so much for being here, my friend.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm sorry I don't have as energetic of an introduction.
It's okay.
There.
You can start slow and you can finish strong. Don't worry. We're gonna ramp up the outrage. Let's talk a bit about the latest announcement from our Toronto Transit Commission, courtesy of Toronto Mayor John Tory. Masks will be made mandatory as of July the 2nd. Or will they? So if you're not wearing one, you won't be forced off and you won't necessarily be fined in any way, shape or form. Or will you, Mr. Mayor?
The bylaw permits a $195 fine, but I can tell you that we won't be issuing fines for these infractions.
Okay, that wasn't what I asked for. The mayor actually, and you can grab that clip if you want right now, Mark. He said in this very extreme situation, he could possibly see maybe on the outside chance, possibly maybe getting a fine if this happens.
I suppose it's possible that if a person, you know, repeatedly day after day after day came to the same station and utterly refused to wear a mask, that somebody could issue them a ticket.
So the way they're leaning into this, Bill, and I'm sure you already know this, but for the benefit of the audience, I'll try and explain it a little bit, is they're talking about awareness. We're talking about free masks, but it really doesn't feel like a mandatory thing at all to me.
Yeah, I need a new dictionary, I guess, because that's not what mandatory means to me. Mandatory means you must wear it. If you don't want to hand out fines, turn people away. Just tell them, no, you can't ride. That would be the, if you don't want to hand out fines, just say, no, sorry, can't get on the subway, can't get on the bus. At least do that. There's no point in calling it mandatory if it's not mandatory. I understand and appreciate that they want to just say, this is how we'd prefer you to act. Then just say that, you know. So, and I'm a little tired throughout this whole crisis of people trying to, public officials trying to manage us more than just be straight with us. So, because that's been part of the problem now. And that's why so many of these conspiracy theories pop up and get credibility, is just not enough straight talk. So be straight. We'd really like you to wear a mask, but we don't actually have the balls to fine you if you don't.
And Jaskaran, you know, one of the things that we look at too is, you know, how the union's feeling about this as far as safety goes. You know, if you've got people that are going to start using the front entrance again, and you're not using, you know, on a bus, and you're not using a Bombardier streetcar where they're really, really sheltered, if there's still, you know, the opportunity for someone to get on without a mask and you can't refuse them service, I can just see anxiety levels for the men and women that drive our transit. I could see that going, you know, through the roof with this announcement.
Yeah, I think the union was happy that a announcement was being made for mandatory mask, and I don't know if they'll be necessarily happy when they realize that mandatory is loosely defined by the city. Look, the mask, purpose of the mask is not so much to protect yourself, it's to protect others around you. And in this instance, you know, if you're a driver or you're a worker in the TTC and folks are coming without masks, it's putting you at risk, right? Because, you know, they're a threat to you. And I think it's not too much to ask of folks to wear a mask when they're coming on. And you know, stores are doing it. It's common elsewhere. It shouldn't be that difficult to expect people to do that at a minimum as we continue to open up society here.
That's what we've done in Ottawa, by the way. People are being asked to wear masks, and they, for the on public transit, for the most part, they're doing that. Don't be a jerk. Wear the mask. Whatever you happen to believe, do this for other people. Make them feel better. I have no problem with that. You know, sadly, it's become a political statement, right? It tells you which side of this thing you're on. I wear a mask, therefore, I don't believe it's as big a threat as they said it was, and the economy should be up and running again. Okay, enough of that. Let's get the economy up and running, but let's protect each other. Wear the mask. What's the harm to you?
It's interesting that you bring that up too, Bill, when you talk about, you know, the side with which you land on with this, because we all know what side, you know, the American president, Donald Trump, is on when it comes to masks. The guy feels like it makes you look weak. Yet Trevor and I were talking during one of the breaks, and what were you looking at, Trevor? Was it a waiver?
It's the new waiver when you agree to go to one of the presidential rallies that you now have to opt in. And essentially say that you have to waive your rights to holding Donald J. Trump responsible for if you pick up COVID at any of his rallies. But, you know, it's not a big deal.
Really interesting messaging. All right, let's talk about long-term care homes.
How do you even begin
visits
to explain this to your kids? I give up.
Yeah. Yeah, you could wait for the upteen documentaries that are going to come out and maybe pick one of the animated ones. Oh, wait, there already is an animated Trump show. Ontario will restart long-term care home visits next week. Very strict guidelines. Here they are. Here's the announcement from today.
We have developed a responsible, phased visitation plan that will allow you to visit your loved ones in long-term care and retirement homes that are not in outbreak starting next week.
Now, obviously, good news for so many people. And we've read all the stories, Bill. Everybody's heard these, you know, stories of I watched my mom or my dad die because I was out behind a window and they weren't there. There was a phone being held up to them. So obviously, tragic stories. But I guess the danger with this, just like anything else, is, you know, you worry that maybe it's too soon. I mean, I know we've got the stats behind us saying that we haven't had outbreaks in long-term care homes, but I guess we still have to be cautious. But I know a lot of people looking forward to visiting loved ones.
Yeah, it's a calculated risk, right? I mean, there really is harm, emotional harm, especially to older people. If you have a parent, as I do, who's her memory is fading and doesn't remember when I call or don't call. And, you know, the longer you stay away, the harder it is for them to remember and connect with you. So it's absolutely heartbreaking. So you're weighing the risks. You know what? You want your elderly parents or grandparents to have some quality of life while they're in there as well. So, I mean, yeah, you want to make sure they're alive, but they also have something to live for. So they're doing the best they can. I am not going to pretend to be God and know whether this is the exact moment. Let's do it. Let's do it carefully and wear a damn mask when you go to visit those people in those residences. Do that.
Yeah, and one of the things for me, Jaskaran, is that, you know, I'm really glad that people are able to visit their families, but I'm equally as glad, if not even more glad, that it seemed contained cases in these long-term care homes. But, you know, obviously there's always that worry. But to Bill's point, if we're all following sort of the rules, hopefully you get to see your loved ones, right?
Yeah, I think there's a certain element here of just personal responsibility. If you're going into an LTC long-term care home, and you are you want to be sure that you're not exposing your loved ones, right? And you're not exposing others that work there, including staff. Look, people are coming in and out of long-term care homes regularly, including employees or support workers or doctors or whatever it may be. They're all doing so with very strict precautions. As long as those are being respected and the flow is being controlled, I don't see a problem with this because going back to the point that was made earlier, the emotional cost is fairly high, especially for those that are in there as residents.
You know, the concern always is anytime at any of these facilities, if one individual gets it, it's like a grenade and everybody all of a sudden it has it and it's really difficult to stop. So I'm really happy to see that these controls are pretty significant. You know what I mean? You have to go outside only one person at a time, the proper PPE, like you've had to have had a test done right before you're allowed to go in. So I find all that's really, it's quite stiff and intense, but considering how dangerous it is, if there is an outbreak, we know how that's actually gone so far in this province. I'm happy to see that we're finding a little bit of a pathway forward.
Let's talk a little bit about an announcement made today, almost $60 million in a project to help small businesses improve their online sales. We're curious if it's too late. We're already a couple of years behind America in this sense. Many have gone out of business already. Nonetheless, we spoke with one of the organizers and one of the managers at Ontario's Association of Small Businesses, and she had this to say about the Digital Main Street program.
This is going to help a lot of businesses The ones that have products or services that lend themselves to online sales. Because obviously your hairdresser friend, kind of hard to get a virtual haircut, but there are many, many businesses out there that have products and services that can be sold online right now that aren't. So that's what this $57 million program will help.
I guess the big question, Bill, is, you know, an online presence going to make a difference as you try and just keep your doors open? Or are you going to move to an online, you know, business altogether? Or are you just going to shut your doors? I still think it's a tough one, but it is something.
Yeah, although I do worry about a company, unless you really were brand new, a small business that in 2020, you didn't already have the online part kind of worked out. You know, it's not, this is not a new marketing landscape we're talking about here. So,
sure.
So in the end, I'm not sure if it helps the right people. Sure, you maybe have an online component you didn't have before. And if it helps, if it saves a few more jobs, I'm certainly not going to stand in the way. At least it's an investment. It's not just cutting checks.
Just Karen?
Well, the other angle on this is that it's hopefully going to provide jobs to the young folks who face the brunt of recessions and unemployment harder than anyone else, even during the best of times. So you provide a marketplace for young folks, for students to get jobs, to assist with this. You provide small businesses resources to, going back to Bill's point, get into 2020 and be at the top of the latest trends in selling online. And a lot of businesses, you know, just following the inertia of the past, never maybe had the incentive to do so. And now they have that assistance. But yeah, the retail landscape is never going to be the same. It's the impact, the detrimental impact of COVID-19 is going to be huge. And a lot of businesses are just not going to come back. And that's just a harsh reality. But whatever we can do to support them, it goes a long way.
Couple minutes left. I want to get your opinion on this one. Twitter is testing a new feature that will recommend you read an article before you share it. Using Twitter's quote, sharing an article can spark conversation, so you may want to read it before you tweet it. I guess that kind of goes behind, or against rather, Bill, the entire point of Twitter for a lot of people. The entire point is to just read the top line and then forward it and say, this is my opinion and it's right.
But I find it funny that sometimes I'll post an article or maybe a TV comment that I've done gets posted. And before it's even possible to have watched the 60-second feature or read the article, before, it's like no one could have done it. People right away, you idiot, someone did this to me the other day, like within a half a second. That's why your generation doesn't believe in climate change. And what are you talking about? First of all, I actually mentioned specifically that I believe in climate change in the actual So it would kill a lot of the energy of Twitter, but it wouldn't make us any dumber if they gave us a little warning that maybe you ought to read it.
Yeah, plus that actual commentary you had posted was about the return of food trucks, so I don't know what that person was thinking
about. Well, sometimes it's not even related. You're right.
Right. Descarin, is this going to make a difference for people? Will people actually, you know, stop toplining?
You know what? I think the real problem is not so much the toplining or just reading the headlines and running with it. Well, that does happen. It happens often. The bigger issue I feel in social media and news is fake news, right? It's misinformation. It's completely bogus websites that people are sharing and using as justification for whatever crazy idea they think is legitimate. So, yes, it solves a problem. I don't think it solves the problem, though, which is, you know, fake news.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, I've been tricked by that New York Times website so many times.
You mean the failing New York
Times?
As long
as you don't read the op-eds, you're okay.
Descarin and Bill, thank you both so much. Have a great night.
See ya.
Take care.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.